acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Just cut down.
Around us, Satan is busy. Satan is taking attack on each and every one of us, and he just don't want each of you. He want our entire families.
Amen.
It's good to see y'all this morning. It is good to be seen. We want to take a moment to welcome our guests, our visitors who are with us. We appreciate you being here. We hope, trust, and pray something will be able to help you and know that you're here for a reason. To the family, y'all, it's always good to see y'all.
Amen.
It's always good to see your family. Some of you have been sick, some of you have been under the weather, but you're still here.
Amen.
You're still here. Folks, this morning, as we're about to break into a new season, getting out of this summer heat and going into the fall, we're starting to get into a time of the season that I used to really, really look forward to. But we're getting into a season that the month of October, November, December, I like that time of the year, but I've had some challenges over the years. I had to deal with some sickness over the years. And there are some folks who I used to walk with are not here anymore.
Yeah.
There are some folks I used to talk with are not here anymore. Folks I used to fellowship with, talk with, pray with, folks who I loved are not here. And as I look over the audience, and I've talked with some of you this past week, the last couple of years have been tough on us. We faced a lot.
Yes.
We've been through a lot.
Amen.
But we're still here.
Amen.
We're still here. You see, God ain't through with us yet.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, y'all. We have received some punches. We've been knocked down, dragged around, stoned around, but we're still here.
Amen.
God is good, y'all.
Amen.
Some of the time,
all the time.
All the time.
Amen.
God is good, folks. You see, folks, we're still here. And see, that brings me to my topic this morning. That I want to talk to you about resilient people. I want to talk to you about what it means to be able to still be here. See, we have to understand that God cannot use us if you don't have us in a proper place. See, God has got to take us through some things, face some things, to get us ready for what he needs us to do. You see, we have to be reminded that it ain't about us. This thing is about God. You see, I believe over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we've been purchased by the blood. We've been purchased by that blood that was shed on the cross. That we don't own this body that we have. It belonged to Christ.
Amen.
And we got to do the will of Christ. So my lesson this morning is simply about resilient people. Folks, God needs resilient people. He needs people to be able to bounce back. That's what it means, to bounce back. See, you need to understand that you got to be able to bounce back from the hardships. You gotta bounce back from the difficulties. You gotta bounce back from the discouragements. You gotta bounce back from the circumstances. You gotta bounce back when your children aren't crying. You gotta bounce back when you lose that job. You got to bounce back when you can't pay your rent. You got to bounce back when you're dealing with sickness. You got to bounce back from life, folks. Life has a way of throwing blows at you. And you got to be able to still stand.
That's right.
I'm reminded as a child growing up, this toy. I don't know the name of it, y'all. But it was this toy that you would blow up, had a heavy body with sand in it. And man, I tell you, Randy, you could just hit that toy, blow up, bam! It'll bounce back at you. You step back, you come again, and you hit it again, bam, bam! It'll bounce back at you. And you swing back, you just hit it real hard! It'll roll! It'll rock! But it'll bounce back! Folks, God needs folks that'll bounce back! That's what God needs. We gotta bounce back, folks. We can't allow life to hold us down, y'all. We gotta bounce back from some things. And see, we fail to realize sometimes. We fail to realize. When I think about people who are commendable, the resilient always come to mind. They never ever say die. These folks believe in God and his promises regardless of all the circumstances that they may face and they may go through. You see, they are filled with overcoming attitudes of expecting God to use them in their handicap.
Amen.
Paul Noel could stay at home if he wanted to. But what'd he do? He wobbled on up and hit on it. And I'm right there with him. Because of his handicap. He knows that's just a part of life. Resilience. Bounce back. Folks, I want to talk to you this morning about five or six points, whatever I get to. I'm going to stop at a certain time. You know I don't preach long. But listen, Big West, I want you to go to Acts chapter 18, 9 and 11. Put your finger down. Okay? Folks, when this lesson was taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 10, let me just give you a little bit of information on this, all right? You know this medicine that I'm on, it dries my mouth up. It's for pain. And I talk a few minutes, my mouth will get dry. But that pain shoots me. But that's okay. I'm still here.
Amen.
Listen to me. The Apostle Paul, he's almost at the end of his life. And he's trying to let you know. He's at a point that I want you to have been watching me, you've been studying me, I've been encouraging, I've been helping you. I've had to bounce back from many things in life. And you all have witnessed this. How he's been able to bounce back through the hardships, the persecutions that he has faced throughout his ministry. He's trying to tell Timothy, I need you to hang in there, son. I need you to fight those false doctrines. I need you to stand and don't let nobody try to pull a rug up underneath you, Timothy. Stand and be God's man. I need you to bounce back. Because there are going to be times you're going to get knocked off your feet. But when you get knocked off your feet, folks, it ain't time to stay down. It's time to get up. Get up. When you bounce back, you got to get up.
Amen.
Folks, you can't just roll around. Get up. Dust off your knees. Get up. Folks, I can't get up like I used to, but Brother Brigham, I can still get up.
Amen.
Because you give me inspiration, Brother Brigham, to get up when I fall down.
Amen.
It's time to get up, folks. It ain't time to stay down. Now it's not the time. You may be a little slow. If you can't get up, you can't get on your feet, don't have strength to land, crawl!
Amen.
Till you get to a bench, land something!
Amen.
You better lift yourself on up because your strength don't come from down. The strength comes from up top, y'all!
Amen. That's right.
Look into the heavens for where your strength gonna come from.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get up.
Amen.
It ain't time to stay down.
That's
This world want to beat you down. But you got to get up. Folks, let me share something with you. I know y'all probably saw the verdict all this past week, but y'all heard about that young man who was killed in his own apartment, okay? And it came for sentencing time. I don't want to talk about what happened instead of that, but the fact that he was killed by a police officer, happened to go into the wrong apartment, what she says. He was killed, and they testified, and they got ready to do the sentence and all that. And then the young man wanted to come up there. He wanted to be able to say something. And he asked the judge, how the judge, can I go and say something to her? Can I go and just touch her? Can you just give me just a moment? And the boy went to her, and the boy forgave her and said, I forgive you. I forgive you. A young man.
Amen.
Down the street on I-35, folks. We're talking about Jesus. Somebody that does some teaching somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Don't give me this talk that you bought for young folks. It ain't time for that. You need to get busy. Help our young folks. Get them back on the right track.
Amen.
Amen, walls.
Amen.
Amen, lights. Listen. My first bullet point I want to talk to you about is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You see, the Apostle Paul is showing relentlessness here from the standpoint that he met with the Jewish folks who was trying to push back on him. He was there in Corinth. And he was there for about 18 months, year and a half. And you got to understand, this is in the early part of his ministry. And these people were making all kinds of accusations at him. And he was trying to follow the Holy Spirit that was leading him. And even when the Spirit is leading you, the world can also put some stuff in your mind.
Yes.
Come on now, help me somebody.
Yes.
Even you've been led by the Spirit, but you still, the world can put some on your mind and make you feel like they're going to get me. I want you to read because, see, God had to whisper in his ear. What did it say, Big West?
Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent.
Listen, y'all, sometimes, y'all, we need to speak. It's always good to listen, and listen with empathy, listen with understanding. But sometimes you need to speak and share with somebody God's word.
Amen.
He's trying to get Paul to see, man, I got you there for a reason. I need you to keep teaching. I need to keep preaching. I need to keep working with those folks there in Corinth. Because this city of Corinth, it is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
It's corrupt. A lot of stuff was going on there. And they needed Paul to do some teaching there. Read.
For I am with you.
Stop. What did it say?
For I am with you.
I can't hear you. What did it say?
For I am with you.
Y'all, we fail to realize sometimes. We fail to realize that God is with us. You see, sometimes, you know, it bothers me sometimes when people are blessed and they accomplish some things and they talk about what I did, how I did it. And they're taking the credit away from God.
Amen.
Listen to me, y'all. If you're going to school or whatever you're doing, on that job, promotion, whatever, got a new house, new whatever, give God some credit.
Yes.
He put you in that position.
Amen.
He put you there in that position. Give God some credit here.
Amen.
Say thank you, God.
Yes.
Do less of you and more of him. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Read, Wes.
And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city.
Listen. Not only am I with you, but you can't have to worry about none of these crazy folks here in this city. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. There's some crazy folks around us, y'all.
Amen.
Come on. There's some folks who want to do some bottling at home with us sometimes, y'all.
Okay?
Don't you worry about all that other stuff, Paul. I got this. Because I am with you.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. My next point is that I want to just share with you from being able to bounce back is repentance and restoration. We talked about this here a little bit on Wednesday in Bible class about Job. You see, I know we're familiar with Job, but see, Job was a man who had it all in our eyes, because Job was rich.
Amen.
Job had money. Job was not hurting. Job had 10 chillings. I mean children, Sonia. Okay. 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls. That's my kind of family, y'all. That's my kind of family. I just didn't have that wife to want to have that many. But that's okay. I take whatever she wanted to give me. I took it. I moved on, y'all. But if it went my way, we had 10. I love a big family, y'all. Gene, I love a big family. How about your kids? I love that, man. That's great. And Job was faithful. He was an upright man to God. And you know what I loved also about him is that he loved and prayed for his children. Oh, he loved his children, y'all. But you know, though, one day, old Satan do what he do. You know what he do? Go to and fro. He do what he do. And he ran up on God. And when he ran up on God, you know what he did? He came at God around the way. He didn't want to ask him what he wanted to ask him. Oh, God said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Amen. He's an upright man, godly man, son of evil, man. You know what I'm saying? He's saved from that evil corruption, okay? And Job came at him from the standpoint around the way, and then he finally got to the point. He said, if you would just lift the heads from Job and his family. He just didn't say Job. He said Job and his family. You see, Satan, when he come after you, he wants it all. He wants it all. And don't you know when God told us, I tell you what, you can have at him. Just don't kill him. Don't kill him. Boy, he took off like a rat. He took off, and what happened to Job family? And don't you know, in a day's time, he went out of his mind. He slaughtered all of his kids. Every one of them. I'm going to do what I did Wednesday. I'm going to stop for a second. I want you to think about that. I know we've lost some loved ones, some folks we love, and we've been through a lot. I just want you to stop for a second. I can't imagine me losing my whole family. Should not be out of my mind. I can't imagine that. Even imagine that even after he had lost his entire family in a day's time, what did he do? He praised God.
Yes.
Help me, somebody.
Yes.
He praised God, y'all. And see, at the end of all of this, after all he did, after all he went through, his sores, his sickness, friends, and all that stuff gone, at the end, in chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, I can do all things through you. It's all about you, God. And God blessed him more than what he had. Ain't God good?
Amen.
Y'all listen to me. Sometimes, y'all, we have to give the appreciation where it needs to go.
Yes.
We need to give it to God, folks. Listen, my third point is being compelled by the Spirit. Go back to Acts. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Put your finger on that. Chapter 20, 22 through 24. Being compelled by the Spirit. You see, here, Paul feels obligated to do God's will. But the pressure is starting to mount. Let me stop for a second. Y'all know how it is when pressure starts to build up in lives, our lives, and we're faced with it. And we're faced that we got to make a decision, we got to do something. Because that old saying that pressure busts a pipe.
Yeah.
We ain't just any pipe. We're the vessels of God. Help me somebody. Come on now. Come on, come on, come on, come on now. I know life gets tough sometimes. I know it gets stressful sometimes. I know and I can understand when you're faced with the difficulties of hardship and with defeat, and you feel like you're on the edge, you're on the brink, you're about to fall over, but you hold on.
Amen.
Hold on as tight as you can. And if you start to fall, it's okay.
Amen.
He'll pick you up.
Yes.
He'll pick you up. But we got to put our trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
Not some of our trust, but all in him.
Yes.
And you can't wait till you get to these desperate times to try to turn it on.
Amen.
We got to do it in our daily walk.
Amen.
Daily walk. Having a relationship with him daily.
Yes.
Not weekly. Not every other month. Not when we decide we want to come to church. Not when we want to decide to do this. No, it's about daily walk.
Amen.
Acts 20. 22-24, read it.
And see, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there.
Don't know, but read.
Except that the Holy Spirit,
yes, sir,
testifies in every city.
Come on, the Holy Spirit is there, y'all. I don't care how evil it is. I don't care what corruption is going on in that job. What's happening at home? What's happening in your neighborhood? Wherever you may be, the Holy Spirit is there. If you go, it's there.
Amen.
Read.
Saying that chains and tribulations await me, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God.
You see, he feels obligated. Come on, help me somebody. You see, he feels obligated that he's compelled by the Spirit, that he don't follow God's will. And sometimes, y'all, you know, I mentioned Brother Paul earlier about sometimes even when you're in pain, y'all, you got to fight the pain. Sometimes you got to fight the sickness. Okay, I'm not telling somebody to come up here with a broke leg, just dragging a leg. And that's not what I'm saying. When you're able, come on in. And we have folks right here in our audience, y'all. Demonstrate that before us all the time.
Amen.
We have great examples right here all the time. Not just biblically, but right here in our audience all the time. My next point is coming from the book of Timothy, chapter 1 Timothy chapter 4, right about verse 12. And I want this to go to the young folks, because some of our young folks, you have a lot of opportunity before you, Taylor. Alyssa, you have a lot of opportunity before you. Jason, you have a lot of opportunity before you. You've been raised up in a family that loves you. You've been raised up in a family that cares for you, want to make sure that you have what you need, but most of all, making sure that God is first and foremost. Times have changed. You have more opportunity than your mother and father would ever have, and what you have today.
Yes.
Shame on you if you don't take advantage of those opportunities.
Amen.
But as you take advantage of those opportunities, you don't let nobody despise your youth.
Amen.
You see, the elders here had a problem with Timothy. See, the elders thought that at this time, because of his age, they had a hard time getting past his age. See, a young man. But see, the Apostle Paul looked at a man and looked past him and saw that this boy was raised by his grannies. Grandpa, grandma, his grannies raised him. And that wisdom, that old wisdom, y'all, that old wisdom was handed down to Timothy. That's why he could stand and bounce back.
Yes.
He could bounce back, folks. In life, you got to be able to do that, young folks. You can't just let somebody just disrespect you. Now, I'm not saying that you go talk out of place. Now, that is not what I'm saying. And when I say young folks, I ain't talking about you folks who are 30, 40 years old. I'm talking about you folks in your 20s and younger. I'm talking to you folks who have an opportunity before you to make some good things happen in this world, to be good examples in this world, to be able to stand. I'm talking about young folks who have good speech, good conduct, good faith, good purity. Examples. Read, Wes.
Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Listen, you bless them, folks. You're very blessed. We, as parents, pray for you, want you to do great things, to edge out who you are in society and represent. Because when you represent it, you represent God.
Amen.
My next bullet point, folks, is that it's coming from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 and 3. Put your finger there, Wes, because I want to talk about being not conformed to this world. See, we got to bounce back from this world, y'all. We are trying to keep up with a rat race that's taking place. It is absolutely crazy out there right now. If we're trying to keep up with society, we're trying to keep up with all this stuff and the changes that are taking place in this world, folks, we're going to get lost.
Yes.
Folks, we're going to have some problems. We're going to have to let some things go, folks. We're going to have to make sure that we're doing God's will. You see, in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1, says what, Wes?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Listen, if you're trying to keep up with the world, you can't present your body as a living sacrifice. You cannot keep up with that rat race out there. You can try to encourage and help that rat race, but you can't get out there in the mix and try to keep up with all those folks who are doing any and everything that's out there, and you think that's cool. See, sometimes, y'all, we want to get to the very edge. That we can touch it. Just get to the edge just so we can touch it. Sometimes we want to get that close to folks and things that they're doing out there. And sometimes we'll try to justify ourselves why we do what we do. You know, some folks sit there and argue with you. I went to the club because I wanted to make sure Jesus was in there. Lord have mercy. Come on, you know, we come on all kinds of crazy stuff, okay? And then, you know, don't be like me when I was in high school. With Gene back in the country, they had holes in the walls, didn't they? Stump flows, you stump before dust come through the cracks. And sometimes you sneak out at the game and go out to Taylor, go out to one of the little places and see one of my buddies in church. He see me and I see him. And we look at each other. And then Sunday morning we look at each other and we sit there and watch, we got our head down. Let's not be conformed, y'all. Verse number 2, Wes.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Listen, y'all, we do this here daily again. In our daily walk, folks, we got to be renewing who we are daily, folks. Having that walk with Christ, having that conversation with Christ, waking up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Don't wait till lunchtime for you finally say thank you and you wake up in the middle of the day. Say thank you, Lord. Lord, order my steps today. Direct me in the right path, Lord. Control my tongue, O Lord. Help me to say something nice to somebody. Help me to do something nice for somebody. Let me smile, Lord, even though when I want to smile, help me keep a smile on my face. Help me be not conformed, Lord. I don't want to sit there and gossip about my coworker. Even though I know she's cheating when she's checking in and leaving early and all the other stuff. Lord, I don't want to get caught up in that, Lord. Help me keep myself from that, Lord. Don't be conformed, y'all. Be transformed. Transform, folks. Now, I just want to give you an example of someone who got caught up in this conformed world. And this man's name was Demas. He was a man who worked with Paul. He worked with Paul. Paul needed him. Paul tried to encourage him. But he got caught up in these cities of Thessalonica, Corinthians, having a good time, things going on out there. He got caught up, y'all. And I want you to go. I want you to go. I want you to pick up that scripture. I want you to read that, Wes. Okay? Go. I want you to go right there. Look on the board. Go. Go back one, Rex. One slide back, if you can. But I want you to write this down. Please write this down. This will help you. Can you go back one? Okay, there we go. Okay. All right, y'all got this scripture. Write this scripture down because this is going to help you, folks. This helps us in what we're dealing with and what we're faced with, okay? All right, we want to make sure that we are presenting ourselves godly. We want to make sure that we're not being transformed into this world. We want to make sure that we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 9 and 10, I want to just show you quickly. I may not put that on the screen, but I want to show you this quickly. Okay? I want to show you something. When you get there, read verses 9 and 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Read.
Be diligent to come quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed from Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me.
Stop for a second. Sometimes, y'all, people that you depend on will depart from you. Sometimes people that you love won't be there for you. And that's tough sometimes when you get to a point in life and you really depend on somebody and you really need that somebody there and they're not there. This is why it's so important in your daily walk, keeping that connection with God, folks. He'll never leave you. He will always be with you. See, when we put our trust in man and not in God, we set ourselves up. And we don't need to do that, y'all. We need to keep ourselves at a point that we have somebody that we know, regardless of the time of day, regardless of where we are, that we can always be able to call on. And that one person I do know is God. Amen. And we need to rely on God, folks. And the ultimate resilient person is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What he did on the cross for you and I, what he did leading up to the cross, going up Calvary for you and I, how he was spit on, how he was talked about, how he was accused, how he was beaten, what he stood for, and how they put the nails in his hands, folks. Nailed him to the cross, and then hung him up there between this world and heaven. Hung him up there. Done no wrong. But they hung him up there just for you and I. I take that personally. And every time that we go and we mess up and we sin, we crucify him all over again. But thank God for the blood. The blood, y'all. The blood will wash it away. That's how strong his blood is, because his blood just didn't go back then, but it's still rolling forward. For those who have not accepted our Lord, that blood is rolling forward. That blood is for you. We've got to be able to be people who are resilient, people who bounce back, people who get up off the ground Get up, y'all. We ain't got time. Sometimes we have arguments against ourselves and our family, and sometimes we disagree with each other. But you know what? The great thing about that is that the making up part.
Yes.
The making up part. You know, let's get along. Let's work with each other. Lord, we ain't got here long, y'all. Sometimes we act like we're going to live here forever and a day. But don't you know? Don't you know one day this body is Rex Prater and his brother's one? This body's going back for what it came from? You're going to have to do the example that Christ did. We're going to walk in his footsteps. We're going to have to go through the grave, y'all. In order for us to get home, in order for us to get to our final destination, we got to go through the grave. Paul said that over in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, oh, grave was the victory. And we got to go through death. Death was the sin. We got to break through that, y'all. We got to break through that. I don't know about you. I don't know where death is. All I do know is that in my daily walk, I want to walk with Jesus. And you know, me and Paul was hobbling around here yesterday. I'm trying to get out of this hobbling, Paul. Okay, because I got surgery coming up. And I want to get out of this hobbling if I can. I hope God bless me if I can be able to walk back normal again after my surgery. But whether or not he do it or not, folks, I pray that I can do what he had me to do, live the way he had me to live, but I just hate this pain. I kid you not, I hate it, but at the same time, I can't stop being who I am.
Amen.
We got to keep pushing, y'all. And see, so many of you are so encouraging, such an example, right here in our audience, on the life that you live, on how you bounce back, how resilient you are, okay? We need you to keep bouncing back. Tell old Satan, get thee behind me. You are not going to conquer me. Loose me. I'm going to be with my Savior. That's what we ought to be doing, folks. Keep bouncing back. Keep moving forward. Get up off the ground. If you're still on the ground, holler, raise your hand. Somebody help you up, y'all.
Amen.
Crawl if you have to, but get up off the ground. Resilient. That's the message to you this morning. We extend the invitation to those who may not be a part of the body. And you come by hearing the word of God, hearing, believing, having faith, knowing that God is who he is. But you got to repent from your life that you're living in.
Yeah.
You got to turn away from that. You got to be able to tell Satan that I'm not living this way anymore. And once you do that, you make that great confession, according to Matthew 10 and 32. You make that great confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You can raise your hand, we'll come get you and walk you down. And I'm going to ask you that question. And you just say, yes, I believe. We'll baptize you this morning. And then you become a part of the marvelous family of God. Ain't no family like God, y'all. And if you have error, y'all, let's get this thing right. There are so many shootings and some of the things that are taking place around it, what people are doing. Let's get out, make sure our lives are right. Let's not get caught up in the fast lane. And then we got to question what we're going to spend eternity in. Heaven is eternity. Hell is eternity. I want heaven.
Amen.
I want heaven. Do you want heaven?
Amen.
Do you want heaven?
Amen.
Let us stand. Sing the song of invitation.
Just